Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 14th of May, recording at 9:40 p.m. That's British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights very briefly. Stock markets in Asia were mostly firm. Good action in Japan, with the Nikkei hitting a four-month high. The European stock markets were seesawing a little bit, mostly on the plus side, and then closed with some of their better gains as Wall Street had come in and appreciated in the first few hours of its trading. Those gains repaired back. The Dow was up a good 150 points at one stage, and closed up 66 points. A half a percentage point, with a slightly smaller gain in the S&P, and the NASDAQ up just a small fraction overall, but a plus day nevertheless. In fixed interest, bunds and gilts were hit fairly hard. That followed the big sell-off yesterday in the U.S. Treasuries. They were down slightly today, the treasuries, partly because the CPI figure came in lower than people expected, so indicating that consumer price inflation was actually easing somewhat. Well, if you believe that, you'll believe anything, but that's what the statistics said. JGBs were hit hard in here today. The US dollar is slightly steadier overall, but for the most part it's unchanged in here today. So the US dollar index is up a little bit. Industrial metals, which had mostly rallied yesterday, were mostly easier in here today. Commodities were generally easier as well. Agricultural commodities, that is. And crude oil continued to back away a bit in here. And we're currently at 123.89, so that's down $1.91 on the day. Remember that touched 27, one point yesterday. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, back on May 7th, well, let me back up even further than that. You know my view, well, I'll just review it, particularly for new subscribers who may be less familiar with my view, but that we saw climactic lows in January and again in the first half of March, that sentiment indicators, which for my money are, and it literally is because I'll back them, that sentiment indicators at market lows are really invaluable. And you could go back and search under sentiment indicators if you're a new subscriber and review that data. But they point out the climactic selling pressure, which one can also see on the charts. So I maintained and continue to maintain that those were the lows for the vast majority of the world's stock market indices. Now, some slipped further below those levels. China was an example and an important one. But most stock markets have held above those levels. And certainly the US stock market indices have. And the European indices, the developed country European indices have as well. Now, on the 7th of May, that was a Wednesday, I said that I saw these small downward dynamics, but nevertheless enough to register on my radar. Started in Asia with the Hang Seng Index and the H share index, and then that spilled over into the Western markets, and I said that look like the beginning of a little reaction in response to some short-term, technically overbought conditions. But I went on to describe it as saying it would be primarily a consolidation, provided the early April lows were not taken out. And those early April lows have not been approached here. Instead, markets were soft last week, but have firmed, drifting down, easing lower last week, but have firmed up a bit this week, and some of them have actually begun to push ahead. So this looks very much like a little consolidation. But if that's too optimistic, what we can now look at, the levels on the charts that we can now monitor, we can really say that to see a somewhat bigger reaction, we would need to see closes beneath last Friday's lows. And you can, of course, spot those on the charts of any indices that you're interested in. But overall, in terms of the bigger picture, I maintain that this is still the first psychological perception phase of a recovering market, when the perception of risk is quite high, but the reality of risk is quite low. How can the reality of risk be quite low? How can I say that when we have we've had the credit crisis, and then we have the oil crisis and the food price crisis causing shortages, causing riots? And say, because the market's fairly efficient in pricing developments like that, and when they reach the front pages of not only financial papers but broadsheets, then you know that that is fully discounted by the markets. And let's face it, we had some major reactions, and that produced the best valuations that we have seen for at least 4 years. And other people say, well, yes, but look at the corporate profits outlook. That's terrible, and so on. So you're gonna have a lively debate here on markets, and people have, but I'll stick to my guns on this because fortunately the evidence is supporting me here that climactic activity, and subsequently most markets have ranged with a slight upward bias, indicating support building, base building, and some of the recoveries have been extremely good. And the resources producing markets, good many of them, well, they certainly never had any bear market. I'm thinking of Brazil, I'm thinking of Canada, and South Africa also has moved to a new high. The Australian resources sector has moved to a new high, not the AS 51, that's the S&P ASX 200 index to be precise. That hasn't moved to a new high, although it's recovered over half of its original decline. But that has been weighed down by the shakeout that had occurred in financials. And financials are still a problem for a number of regional areas. They're still a problem in Europe. They are still a problem in the US. And my constant refrain on this, of course, has been that while the financials were very bombed out, that they would also be long convalescence candidates. In other words, they weren't going to snap back very quickly like companies with pricing power. What are companies with pricing power? Well, the food producers, the fertilizer producers, anything within that food industry, the industrial miners, they all were dragged down during the panicky period of the selling, of course, but they exploded back upwards. And all of those company or sectors, rather, that I just mentioned, let's say those industrial miners and those leading food companies, things like potash, for instance, and they're all well into new high ground. Again, because they have the pricing power, and I'm contrasting that with the banks, which have a bust business model and have to go back to old-fashioned banking, which is a very good thing over the long term. But you get the long convalescence because people say, where's the beef in terms of earnings? And they know that earnings are not going to snap back to the levels that we had seen, say, in 2006, created by all that dodgy business that was going on in those casinos, otherwise known as banks. So that's the situation we're in, and banks can be a drag on or a restraint on these markets, and they where banks are weak, growth is also weak. The two go together. And, for instance, house prices affecting consumer sentiment and hurting the banks because of the duff loans, and so on. Now, banks, of course, are not universally bad. The Japanese banks certainly fell with the Western banks, but have staged quite a respectable recovery. And you get banks in Taiwan, which are up near their all-time highs. Banks in much of Asia were not involved in any of the subprime business, and really look quite good. Now, you sum it all up here, and we have recovering stock markets, and we have some post-recovery extensions of overall upward trends. And we also have, as I say, that all that bad news, once it reaches the front page of broadsheets, it's definitely already been priced in, and the market is looking ahead. And we also know that the financial fuel, which is another crucial, important factor in this first psychological perception stage, is quite high. What you have is a situation where people have cashed up to a certain extent, and markets are going up, and they say they don't believe it because they hold lots of cash. But if markets remain steady, as they have been, then that cash gradually comes back into the market. But because they have cashed up during the frights that drove prices lower, creating the better value that we do see despite uncertainty over earnings. There isn't that much uncertainty with a lot of these markets. And as I say, we have this attractive valuations and a pool of liquidity to fuel gains. Now, not everything's going to move up like Rio Tinto or BHP. Most of them will be ranging gradually higher, but the unquestioned leaders among it's the resources markets led by Brazil. Okay, what about these long-dated government bonds? Well, I always said that as confidence gradually returned to stock markets, that you'd see those bond markets weakening because the long-dated yields just don't offer value. There is much better value in some of the corporate debt, which was hammered by the overall sell-off. Well, now, what about the commodities themselves? As you know, we referred to that as the only game in town late last year and earlier this year. But from February onwards, those contracts have been peaking, those futures prices I'm referring to. And we're now seeing what are likely to be lengthy medium-term corrections following those big upward accelerations. And therefore, all the people who stampeded into those raw commodity funds are having second thoughts. They're seeing profits eroded or losses created and are starting to come out. Some of that money clearly is shifting into the commodity shares overall. But it's not just commodity shares that are performing. They're performing better than any of the others. But the good international firms with, or any firm that's got pricing power, Most of those are international. They are doing quite well in here, and I think that will continue to be the case, and they will be leading broader indices somewhat higher. And this time next year, well, I wouldn't be surprised if the banks have completed their bases and staged some, I'm talking about the Western banks now, and staged some respectable recoveries. But right now, they're very much the laggards overall. And what about this crude oil market? It's dangerous territory up here. It hasn't accelerated the way the food's accelerated, but the trend did steepen. I've written a lot about that in the last couple of days, so in comment, so one can follow that. But I think it's a little bit dodgy up here at these levels. But the price has not broken down yet, and we'll certainly be alerting you of that event as and when it happens. It would start the questions to unnerve the bulls who've been fueling this rise would start below 120 for crude, and I think that's pretty much it. I will be the sole contributor to Comment of the Day tomorrow because Owen will be conducting the chart seminar tomorrow and also Friday. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.